Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
And wondering whether or not, after this weekend's game, the Patriots will ever see Rex Ryan as an opposing coach, certainly in New York, maybe even elsewhere. It stands to reason, I think, that if the Jets decide to part with a guy like Rex Ryan, he's probably going to have to work his way back in as a coordinator somehow. Who the heck knows? But frankly, I think the AFC East, I think pro football, I think, you know, sports in general is much worse off without a character like Rex Ryan involved. And I'd be curious as to your thoughts on that. We welcome you into the playbook for a hashtag WTF Wednesday. What's the focus Wednesday here on Patriots.com radio and the Patriots playbook? E-Scal has decided to stick around for a little bit.
JR Broadcaster. How are you?
I know. I'm good. Have you thought about that? Have you pondered that for a moment as far as
Rex
and his, you know, future, if you will, because it's pretty clear to see that somebody's got to take the fall for 3-11 thus far.
I've thought for a moment about the fact that this could be the last Rex Ryan game in New York. But after I thought about it, I said, no. Yeah, this could be the last one. I moved on to
could be the last one. Moved on to
more important things.
I have to admit, probably 4 or 5 years ago, maybe about the time that, you know, the Jets were beating the Patriots in the playoffs, that did happen.
Yeah.
I have to keep reminding myself that did happen.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was a little bit buffoonish. I thought he was almost a caricature of himself. And then I understood, and I began to understand the method to his madness. And I think part of it is that he really is what you would call a player's coach, which is why the players all seem to love him. But I don't know if he has what I would call the managerial skills to be able to be an effective coach / CEO in the NFL these days, or B, he just doesn't have the smarts. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Or maybe the better word for that is the strength to have that, because I think you have to have overwhelming, strong personalities. In other words, it's my way or the highway. And that hasn't always been the case under Woody Johnson in New York. Of course, that was the whole, you know, reason that Bill Belichick decided to take the job in New England years ago under the Krafts, because it was going to be his way or the highway, and the Krafts were willing to give him that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He's tried to do that, and I think he's come up short. And now that we've seen, you know, new ownership, new GM, he hasn't been given, I don't think, the complete opportunity to do what Rex probably could do. Now, you can say, well, yeah, he's had, you know, chances to, you know, to be successful, you know, getting those teams in the playoffs, and what he's had with Mark Sanchez at quarterback in the past few years. And, you know, they did beat the Patriots. They did make it to 2 AFC championship games.
With Sanchez
at the quarterback. But I just, you know, with a new GM that has come in and is trying to work with him, and, you know, the talent level has clearly taken a big dip. They made a huge mistake when they decided to not go after and re-sign Darrell Revis this last year, which is New York is where he ostensibly wanted to be.
I don't think it was his fault.
No, I don't think so.
By all accounts.
I don't think so, but I'm not so sure we can get the definitive word on that. I think that was probably a decision that was made higher up. Nevertheless, he had no choice but to back it, because that's what management, you know, wanted to do at the time. He's a colorful personality, and I just think that, covering the Jets and hating on the Jets will be, for a lot of Patriots fans, will be a lot less, what's a good word? Energetic. Without Rex Ryan in the mix.
Possibly. Well, it all depends who they hire. If they...
Well, who would you hire?
What?
First of all...
Rob Ryan?
I don't think that's happening.
No, I don't think
so. Here's the thing. We don't really even know if Rex is going and or along with John Idzik. By the way, at practice today, there was a banner at the Jets practice today. There was a banner flying over
Fire
the practice
again?
That said fireidzik.com.
Second time this year, right?
Second time that it's happened this year, yes.
I think the Jets need to clean house. Top to bottom. GM, coach. I mean,
I don't know how
Rex, I think it's just, it's time to move on.
Yeah, you know,
I
mean, he probably does need a fresh start someplace else.
You know,
he's probably going to need a few years as a defensive coordinator.
I still think he's a decent coach.
I think he is, too.
One of the better coaches.
I got to tell you, I think the guy can game plan.
Yeah.
I think he can game plan, and I think he can draw up schemes, and I think he can beat you.
But he needs a new...
Yes, he needs a new address.
New scenery.
Yes.
New somewhere.
I'm with you. I think as a football coach, I like Rex. His personality notwithstanding, it's kind of rubbed us the wrong way at times, but I get it. I understand it. It's the whole New York, New England thing, and I think he's been a perfect fit there, and it's just too bad that he didn't have the support from his higher-ups. Otherwise, I think he would have been wildly successful there. And that's part of the problem in New York. There is no clear path from, you know, Woody Johnson straight down into the football team where everybody's on the same page.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
To ponder.
Yes.
Let's say Rex Ryan were the head coach of the Patriots with Tom Brady.
Ooh.
Do you think he would have had the success that Bill Belichick has had with him?
And we're giving Rex also the same autonomy as Belichick has, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, he calls all
just
the shots.
Just switch bodies.
Switch bodies. Wow.
Belichick's in New York with Rex's Jets. Rex is here with Belichick's Patriots.
That's a great question. I'm going to say, you're going to put me on the spot here with this one. I really would probably have to think about this, but just because I think it's a great question. Let's ask it. Let's ask it of our listeners today. That's a great question. I was getting ready to go a different direction, but the more I think that's a fascinating question. I would really like to know how our listeners feel about that. Switch out the bodies, put Belichick in New York, and put Rex Ryan here with Brady and everything else and the Kraft backing and everything else. Does everything stay the same?
Because I guarantee you know, Patriots fans love to rip on Rex when he gets up and make his statement.
Exactly.
If he were here and winning like Bill has won and was exhibiting the type of personality that he's exhibited in New York, Patriots fans would love that.
I think so, too.
And they would be mocking Belichick in New York.
I think so, too.
For being Mr. Stick in the Mud.
I think so, too. And I'm going to answer your question. Yeah, I think they would be.
They'd be three-time Super Bowl champs?
I think they could be. Yeah, I think they would be.
Or would they be five-time Super Bowl champs?
I think law of averages probably dictates they wouldn't be.
Four-time Super Bowl
could champs? Be. I think that's likely. I think that's likely. I mean, what do you do about David Tyree, for goodness sakes? I mean, he Velcroed that ball to his helmet, and there wasn't anything that Rodney Harris or anybody else could do that day. The other one, however, you know, the one where Welker, you know, could have, should have, would have, you know, won it for the Patriots, who knows? Who knows? Maybe Rex has drawn up another play that's designed to go someplace else. You'd have to at least allow for it, right? That's fascinating. I love that. That's good.
Hey.
Scalavino interjecting good
my
stuff into the playbook
for the
today.
Playbook today.
I'm loving this. That's actually really, that's a great question.
I'm drawing up a new play for the playbook today.
That's excellent. That's a great job. All right. I want you to jump on right now. 855-PATS-500. Toll free, 855. What is that? 728-7500. I always have to stare and look at the number because I always think of the Pats 500.
You need to put the lights on your glasses.
I should. Yeah, wait. Here we go. Got the lights on now.
I love those.
I don't need those here. Got plenty of TV lights in this room.
It just looks fun.
I know. My spotlights. So, 82.
What was it again?
855-728.
Turn the lights back on.
7500. I know. Webradio@patriots.com.
They're showing old Houston Oilers.
I know. My boy Earl Campbell. My classmate, my ex-classmate, Earl Campbell at the University of Texas. Love you, Blue. Yes, and the Miami Dolphins did steal, you know,
of course
Houston
they did.
On.
Of course
Earth.
They did.
Houston. Oh, yeah, they did. Webradio@patriots.com. The Twitter handle, @JRBroadcaster. Easy one to get off on Twitter today. @JRBroadcaster and John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, on Facebook. Here's the thing. It's Eric's question is very simple. It's a great question. Would the Patriots still be where they are today if you switch out Rex Ryan with Bill Belichick? In other words, if we were going into this game today, this weekend, with Rex Ryan as our coach and Bill Belichick as the coach of the NYJETS, are we still in the same scenario? Are the Jets in the same scenario? So you can make an argument that the Jets do more than just beat the Patriots twice in an AFC Championship game if Bill Belichick is running that show.
And let's not forget, this isn't too far-fetched a question, because at one point, for a brief moment in time,
he was the head man of the JETS.
He was the HC of the NYJ.
Yes, he was. He was the HC of the NYJ.
For a very brief moment in time.
What was it, like?
It was in
hours?
2000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
20 hours, I think it was.
Barely.
Before,
yeah.
Before he resigned.
Right.
So he could come take this job. So, and the Patriots ended up giving the Jets a draft
pick. Imagine if he had stayed that long and for some reason, you know, whatever.
I think it's fascinating. All right.
Ryan is the coach here.
That's our initial focus here this afternoon on WTF Wednesday. Hashtag WTF Wednesday. What's the focus? Focus is, would the Patriots be as good if Rex Ryan were their head coach? Interesting question. My initial inclination is to say yes. But then again, does Rex Ryan take Rob Gronkowski? Does Rex Ryan, you know, does Darrelle Revis get away from the Jets? So you have to consider all these things now, which is why it's hard to really give a snap judgment on this, because you have to think, well, if Revis is still in New York, is Belichick still, you know, penny up? Does he get overruled? You know, is Woody on the same page with Bill? There's a lot of great questions here you'd have to consider.
Yeah, that's why I think it's worth pondering. It's fun. You know, what else are you going to think about during this last Jets week with Rex?
3-11 team and going nowhere, and he's probably...
New England still has to fight for something.
Oh, the Patriots certainly do. And we mentioned this a little bit on yesterday's show, that, you know, regardless of what you feel about the matchups over the last 2 weeks, the Patriots need to stay on edge here.
Yeah.
Number one, you know that the Jets, you absolutely know that those Jets players would love to give, you know, Rex a going-away present in beating New England at MetLife Stadium on Sunday. And this is their Super Bowl. I'm convinced of it. This is their game. This is their Super Bowl. This is their big one. They want to win this more than they would want to win the last one. I think they got Miami in the last week. So, I mean, they, you know, this is it. They are going to, they'll do whatever they can to game plan and beat New England on Sunday. So the Patriots had best be ready. And then, of course, on top of that, you're probably going to play a Buffalo team in the last week of the season that may still mathematically have a shot at getting into the playoffs, but need to beat New England to do it.
And who does Denver play this week?
They have Cincinnati.
Denver-Cincinnati is this weekend?
I believe so.
So you really have to say, go Bengals.
Yeah.
And then if the Patriots win...
You could clinch.
Then you don't have to worry about Week 17.
No, you don't.
At all.
No, you don't. You don't. You could clinch a bye.
You guarantee that...
You could clinch a bye.
Well, no, you clinch a bye with a win no matter what. You clinch the number one seed.
You clinch your number one
seed.
If
Denver loses.
Right, because Denver could do no better than 12-4, and
you
could do no worse than
12-4. And you have the tiebreaker.
Right, and you have the tiebreaker.
So you have to say, go Bengals, who dat, who day.
Who day.
Which one of they?
They're who day. Yeah.
No, you just have to say who day and root for your Patriots to beat the Jets. That's all you got to worry about this weekend.
I think that's pretty
by
much
by 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, well, I don't know what time that is. That game a 1 o'clock game, too?
It's a Monday night game.
It's the Monday night game?
Ah, shoot.
See, though, we won't know at the end of the game.
Yeah,
right?
So you really have to play hard this weekend, get the win in New York, then hope that the Bengals can take care of business at home. Then you don't have to worry about Week 17, John.
Right.
At all.
It's true. And then, of course, you know, next week we'll be fielding the play 'em, sit 'em questions, which drive me bananas.
Sit 'em.
I started getting those
sit
last
all.
Week. No, don't sit
yes,
anybody.
Sit 'em all.
You
sit
got
all
a bye week already.
Sit all 53.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? You
if
want
you
to
have
sit
the bye
them
week.
All? Yeah, so why would you want to sit 'em 2 weeks?
Sit
that
them
makes
all.
No no.
Forfeit the game.
No.
Love no, it. don't field the team.
You two could have this argument for 3 hours.
You know when they have inactives?
Oh my God!
When they announce inactives 90 minutes before the game?
Yeah.
The 53-man roster is going to be inactive.
Wait a second. Why don't we just let the UMass Minutemen come out and play them? What?
Might finally get in the game all these years sitting there on the bench.
Sitting there on the bench. Oh, my goodness. That would be the worst thing in the world to do.
Best thing to do.
Worst thing in the world. Football players play football. What the hell? You used to play football.
Play Garoppolo.
I'd say you got to play Brady at least a half.
Play Garoppolo.
A half.
Nah.
No, you got to treat it like a regular regular preseason game.
How will it? You got the week off. Enjoy
why
it.
Would you? Yeah, but why do you want to take 2 weeks off? Then you're talking about rust. You got to play.
Overrated.
Bull crap. No way. Oh, Eric, I'm stunned that you think that. No. I'm absolutely stunned.
Hey, it's only 2 weeks. It's not like the college bowls where they take a month and a half off.
Well, then that's really bad.
That's really bad because you're into the offseason at that point.
That's ridiculous. I mean, that's why I feel bad for teams that have a month off between the regular season and a bowl game, because it's kind of like, wow, I mean, you're itching for a scrimmage or something to be able to beat up on somebody other than yourself. As far as the NFL is concerned, these guys, and you know it as well as anything, these guys' season are 16, 17 1 week seasons.
Yeah.
All right. And so they do whatever they can to be able to string things together. Momentum. They don't want to stop. They want to keep going. Now, sometimes when you get to the end of the year, we all talk about how, you know, it's great to have the bye week in the middle of the year so you can rest your weary bones and you can, you know, get your walking wounded maybe healthier. And the Patriots, that did come at a good time this year. But now when you're trying to fine tune yourself and you really want to be firing on all cylinders on both sides of the ball, momentum is everything, I think, going into the postseason. Can teams do it cold? Yes, they can. And they have proven that. But I think, to a man, I think if you really pulled those guys down the hallway, they'd all say that, you know, no, I want to keep it going. I want to keep going. I don't want to take the time off. They're all going to want to play, and you know that. No one wants to sit at this time of year.
I know what they'll say. Sure. They'll say that.
Football players play football.
Sure. But as the head coach, do you have to listen to your head and not your heart and say it would be better – we'd be better served if we didn't go all out.
Honestly, I don't think heart has any place in it. You got to use your head.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Your heart says, I'm a football player. I want to go out there and play. Your head says, it's probably better if we don't go out there.
No, I don't think your head does say that. No, I don't think so. I disagree.
Your head doesn't know what he's talking about then.
Shush, Robin says the same thing. Your head doesn't know what it's talking about. Doesn't know what it's thinking about. No, I would say that because you've been around the racetrack once or twice, that you understand that this is a game of rhythm. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I think you can be measured in your response. Certainly the guys, and I mentioned this in yesterday's show, I think certainly the players that have bruises, nicks, bumps, strains, yeah, I have no problem with sitting those guys a little extra time to give them an extra week to perhaps, you know, heal up for the playoff run. But as far as your regulars, as far as your frontline guys, your Bradys, your Gronks, your Wilforks, your Revises, guys like that, I would treat this no different than, say, the third preseason game where you're trying to get your guys in shape for the long haul of the regular season, and you would use a half to keep them in shape, keep them in rhythm in week 17, knowing that you have the following week off already. Now, here's where I think we'll agree. If they had to play in wild card weekend, yeah, rest them. I'm thinking you probably want to err on the side of caution and probably rest them because you want them to have a little time off, and you'd certainly want to sit them a half, if not the entire game, depending on, you know, could you improve or hurt your standing. But if you've already got the week off, you already know everybody's going to have the week off, you're going to have probably a good solid, you know, 10 days away from real physical activity, which is probably going to be really welcome again at this time of year. Play them a half like you do in that third, next to last preseason game, just so they can continue to keep the rhythm going. That's all.
Okay.
But you don't agree.
Well, obviously you can't sit 53 guys. I'm just being a little
facetious. I understand that. That's what I'm saying. But jokes, I mean, for someone who's going to, and I started, like I said, I started fielding calls and emails and tweets yesterday on this, you know, and we're talking about it, you know, 2 weeks too early. The fact of the matter is that, you know, you're going to sit some. Some are going to.
Sure. How about your quarterback?
Again, a half. Okay. A half. I'm going to let, right. You might even let him go, you know.
All right, we'll compromise.
You might even let him go into the second quarter, and if you have a lead, then pull him before halftime. Okay. You might do that. I'll allow for that. But right. There's no way that you can sit him out and make him inactive or whatever for the entire game. Yeah. You can't
do
that.
You only have two quarterbacks on the active roster anyway.
That's also
so
true.
You would need to make him active. So.
By the way, I don't claim Garrett Gilbert as a Longhorn.
Is that where he played?
He played at UT.
Okay, I was trying to figure out where
he played. He remember in the national championship game when Colt McCoy got hurt against Alabama?
I don't.
You don't remember that
one?
No,
I don't.
Okay, that was 2009, I think it was. I think it was 2009.
He came in?
Yeah, he had to because McCoy took a stinger in his shoulder. And in fact, I think it was Hightower that gave it to him.
Oh?
I think it was. I'd have to go back and look at it. But McCoy took a stinger in his shoulder, arm went dead, could not play the rest of the game. Garrett Gilbert, as a freshman, came in and actually had a great game. Even though Texas lost the game, he played well. The next year, he was the starter. He was the heir apparent to McCoy, and he failed miserably. Oh. And Texas finished 5-7, and that was the beginning of the end for Mack Brown. And so our buddy Strippers just says, is JR broadcaster someone pleased? Garrett Gilbert started out as a Longhorn.
Is he?
And I would say no, because he then transferred to SMU.
He finished out his career at SMU. By any chance, is he related to Gale Gilbert?
Yes, that's his son.
That's what I thought.
Former NFL quarterback Gale Gilbert.
Makes sense now.
Garrett is his son. Okay. Yes, that's true. And he was highly, highly touted as a schoolboy quarterback coming out of Lake Travis in Austin, Texas. He was as blue as a blue chip can get because of his dad.
And his dad has, I think, still the distinction of being the only player in NFL history to appear in 5 consecutive Super Bowls.
Correct. 5 straight Super Bowls. He lost them all because he was a backup for the Buffalo Bills.
Yep,
and
for 4 straight and the San Diego,
Superchargers. Yes, that's correct. That's correct. He played in five straight Super Bowls.
Yeah, he suited up for 5 straight Super Bowls.
Right.
Lost them all. He's the Revs of the Super Bowl.
That's all you need to know about Garrett.
That's all you need to know?
That's all you need to know.
That's it, huh?
That's it. You know what? What's a good word for it? I would say he's a savvy young man, very well spoken, polite as the day is long. I've had chances to interview him a couple of times. It was after he transferred, however, to SMU from leaving Texas, you know. And I was going to bring it up, but we didn't really get the chance in the course of conversation to bring up his time at Texas. Might be something he'd rather forget. Although he did play in a national championship game, he almost did lead his team to a national title. So I think, you know,
as a true freshman,
which is extraordinary.
SMU's in Dallas, right?
Yes, SMU is the one in Dallas. But it didn't work out very well for him, and I think there was a ton of pressure on him, you know, trying to follow in both Vince Young and then, you know, Colt McCoy's footsteps, and it never worked out. He also, you know, and I will take up some for him somewhat, he didn't really have the support cast that either of those quarterbacks did, and that was Mack Brown's biggest problem, which is why he's no longer coaching right now. Mm-hmm. But we're getting ahead of ourselves, because for those that may not have heard, Gilbert is now a third quarterback on the Patriots roster.
He's on the practice squad.
You're right.
Was out there at practice today wearing number 8. What did he wear at Texas?
He wore number 3.
So he just filled in the empty space on the side, though.
I think so.
Yeah, he's wearing number 8. Steve Mineri, the tight end tackle once in his life, is back for now the 3rd or 4th time. I've lost track with him. He's on the 53, though.
Was he just – he was with New York for a while, too, wasn't he?
Wasn't
he with the Jets?
He's been all over the league, actually. Kansas City,
awesome.
Chicago.
Right.
He's been a lot of places.
He's also been with the Jets, though, I think.
Yeah. He's back. Dominique Easley reportedly on the injured reserve, but, I mean, the fact that Mineri is here would probably say that he's – although we didn't see Caleb Hauptmann, offensive lineman who was on the practice squad, wasn't out there today.
Mm-hmm.
Casey Walker was lifted from the practice squad by Baltimore. He's now on their 53. So they had one open spot going into the day. They had a player on the practice squad who wasn't seen out there. So that's potentially 2 spots and 2 new guys with Mineri and Gilbert. So maybe Easley isn't going on IR. Maybe he is. It's still unconfirmed by the team at this point, but we can say that those 2 players were out in the field in uniform today.
Okay, and of course the roster news of the day has to do with Dominique Easley,
right? And like I said, that's still reported.
Nothing official has come from the team.
But
on
he wasn't on the field, nor was he last week.
You didn't see him, yeah.
So it doesn't look good for him.
No,
and he hasn't really been a factor this year anyway. So you might as well just say
that was an NFL Network Ian Rappaport, I think.
Well, it started last week with Jeff Howe, who said that the team was considering making the move.
We did see that, yep.
And I think today Rappaport said definitively the move had happened. And
it's just that we haven't heard from the team yet.
Exactly.
Than it is. If it is going to happen, it does make a ton of sense from the perspective that this is probably as deep as the Patriots' defensive tackles and ends have been all year, as healthy as they've been all year, with, you know, Easley's exception notwithstanding. And because he's, you know, struggled with both of his knees, although we give him a tremendous amount of credit for, you know, playing as much as he had coming off of both of the knee surgeries he's had in the last year, especially since being the draft pick from Florida. Fact of the matter is that he could probably use the rest and recoup time and rehab time to make sure he's 100% for, you know, OTAs again coming up next spring.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah. He hasn't been. It's tough to say he's been a disappointment because, like you said,
I don't look at him easily as a disappointment at all.
It was disappointing.
Yes,
how his year
right, but you have to realize that he was disappointing because of his physical limitations
and where they took him.
And
you know,
that's also true.
First round pick to be.
But I also understand why the Patriots took him there, because there's no way, had he been healthy, he'd have been available. There's just no way. He would have been probably a top 12 to 15 pick had he been healthy.
I just never saw that type of potential from him in the limited time that he was on the field this year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was knee related, injury related, whatever.
I fully believe that. I've kind of gotten on board. I was one of those that sort of poo pooed the selection in last May, but I kind of come on board with what I think I see they're trying to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this would fall in line with that. They're definitely looking big picture at Dominic Easley, thinking that he can be a difference maker. And because of the fact that they may not have Big Vince around for another, you know, maybe more than another year or two, that, you know, they're trying to groom this guy. They want him to have a good solid, you know, if, good God willing, 10 to 12 year NFL career, they need to err on the side of caution now while you've got the available depth. And I actually think this is probably a smart call. And here I go talking about football players play football. Well, but not if you're hurt.
Yeah.
Not right. If you're hurt.
Right. That's not smart.
If you're hurt, that's not smart. Now you're talking career stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where it probably would be in their benefit to go ahead and make this move at this time. So that's part of it.
Yeah.
Great question by Escal today, kids. Great question. The fact of the matter is that we all love to hate on the Jets. One of the questions I was going to throw out today, and feel free to answer this if you like, but what is it about the Jets that just makes you dislike them? I mean, is it the whole New York, New England thing? Is it because of the coaches that have been through there, the players that open and, you know, do their yapping? I mean, what is it? I mean, that was one of the things that was getting out today in terms of focusing on the Jets today. But this is also a very good question. Swap out the two coaches. Everything else is equal. Swap them out. I'm not saying, would you take Rex over Bill? That's not the question I'm asking. I've already seen some people go off on, you know, the email account. What, are you kidding? Trade the coach? No, what? That's not what I'm asking. Listen to the sound and the words coming out of my mouth. Come on. I'm saying, all things being equal, rosters, everything else. This is the question that Eric asked. Would the Patriots still have three Super Bowls if Rex Ryan were the coach here and Bill Belichick had stayed behind and stayed in New York? And remember, he was there for all of about 20 hours in the year 2000.
Yeah.
He was there. Right. He was the apparent heir to take over for Bill Parcells.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Parcells handed him the job. He took it for 20 hours and said, no thanks. So he could have stayed right there. And then, of course, the Patriots traded with the Jets to get Bill Belichick to come here and end up giving a first-round draft pick.
And let's assume Rex was the coach back in 2001. And everything happens exactly the way it happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bledsoe goes running to the sideline. Mo Lewis hits him. Brady comes in.
Yeah.
You know,
everything stays the same.
Everything stays the same.
Under Rex's guidance.
But let's say he's the coach here and Bill's in New York.
In other words, this is really an indictment on the personnel and whether or not the personnel is greater than the decisions being made by the coaches.
Yeah.
That's what we're kind of getting at here, folks.
Would they have three? Would they have fewer? Would they have more Super Bowls?
That's what I'm saying.
We're kind of
playing with this today.
Play a what if hypothetical.
Yeah, we're doing a little what ifing, and we're kind of testing your depth of knowledge on the personnel moves and, you know, the current status of the two franchises and whether or not the Jets would have traveled a certain way and whether or not the Patriots would have continued to travel in the direction that they have gone. All right, 855-PATS-500, web radio at patriots.com, at JR Broadcaster Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. All right, he's got to get ready to go right.
I do.
Do you have a word for us, though, today?
Do I ever not?
No, that's what I thought. Do we want to cue the orchestra here then, Kev?
He's working.
Giving us the stretch. I know. He's
the fill time.
He's giving us his
fill time signal.
I understand, but...
Quick digression, they're talking about college football up on the TV screen above us there.
Yes.
Oh, you are? You're ready now. Okay.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of
Oregon, Florida
all
State.
Ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather around the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
Jets won last week. It's going to take them out of the Marcus Mariota running, too.
Yeah.
Go.
I'm going to, this is going to be a tough sounding spelling word,
yep.
too, for you.
Yeah.
Syzygy.
Syzygy? All right, syzygy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start.
Like it hurts.
Yeah, it really does. It does. I just had a syzygy procedure done on my. I won't go any further. Syzygy.
Mm.
It is. That's got to be tricky.
It is tricky.
S. Z Y. Syzygy. G Y.
You're very close, actually. You were very, very close.
Yeah.
S. Y-Z, Y-G-Y.
Wow, okay, I just forgot a Y in there, okay. Syzygy.
It's like Petroni, three Ys.
That's right.
You know, you remember that old joke, right?
Yes, yes.
Syzygy, it's actually the alignment
hey,
of...
Yeah.
The alignment of three celestial bodies in near perfect row. So think of like the Earth... The moon and the sun in a
perfect
eclipse.
Syzygy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I just learned that word recently, so.
Again, did you read that in the National Geographic again?
I did.
Robin has asked me to challenge you on that. She says he's getting all of those words from National Geographic.
Not all of them. No, these last two have been, though.
Oh, all right.
No, most of them are just from books I read or just other articles in other magazines or whatever.
Syzygy. Can we put that in the sports, you know, terminology?
I was trying to all morning. I was trying to figure out how I could do this.
Because you know you'd be here, right?
I was saying you could say maybe the NFL stars are in syzygy for the Patriots to get a first round bye this weekend.
There you go.
How's that?
That'll work. I like that. That works.
Close enough?
Yeah, it makes my brain hurt, so let's don't do it anymore.
No vowels unless you want to count the Y.
The Y. This is where you have A-E-I-O-U and sometimes Y. Yes, this is the sometimes. Yes, I like that. By the way, I always heard that A-E-I-O-U, sometimes Y and W. Do you know an instance
never
where
a W
was an actual vowel?
I have never even heard that. The sometimes has only ever included Y.
That's what I thought. But I always heard someone here I remember said, no, it's sometimes Y and W. Mm-hmm. And I just haven't taken the time to use my pocket brain because my own brain, it can't figure that out. I can't think of a word that would have W as the lone vowel.
In maybe one of those Eastern European languages?
Maybe. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
Someone will probably correct me on that. All right, good stuff, E.
All right, man.
All right.
Hope you get some reaction to that.
Yeah, question. That's what I'm shooting for today. I think it's an excellent, excellent question. By the way, Larry Hardesty from 98.7 ESPN Radio in New York will join us in an hour, actually a little less than that now, an hour number two of the program, to delve a little bit further into the Jets, the whole John Idzik / Rex Ryan / what do we do from here situation that the Jets find themselves in with the banner flying over their practice today. And we'll also, in the second hour of the program today, hear from Rex Ryan in his conference call with members of the Patriots media from earlier today here at Gillette Stadium. So we want to, clue you in on a little of that. In the meantime, I'd really love to get your thoughts in this whole, would the Patriots be where they are today if Rex were their head coach over Bill Belichick? That's an interesting question. Really, I have to at least initially say that if all things were still equal, that I believe that Rex is a good coach, and I think the Patriots could be as good, and I would have to err on the side of caution here and say, yes, they'd at least have won three. They've won three now. I think that they would have won at least the same three. All right, let's go to the phones and say hello to Isaac in Fort Lauderdale. Hello, Isaac. You're in the playbook.
Hey, John. How are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Hey, to answer that question Aaron left you with swapping the coaches, I don't think that the Patriots would be where they at with three Super Bowls with Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe Rex Ryan's a deep. I mean, I don't believe he's a head coach. I think he's a phenomenal defensive coordinator, but when it comes down to defense, offense, and special teams, I think that's where Rex Ryan is lacking being a head coach. But I think when you're a head coach, you have to be in tune with all three of those, and I think that's what Bill Belichick is so great, because I believe just Belichick has more knowledge of offense than Rex Ryan does. You know, I don't think Rex Ryan knows anything about offense. He don't seem to care about what the offense does.
Again, the question, though, has to do with everything else being equal. So we're going to assume here that he would have had Charlie Weiss. We're going to assume here they would have had Josh McDaniels. We're going to assume, again, everything is the same. We're just swapping out head coaches.
It's Rex Ryan, that's all.
All right, well, but, you know, all right, that's fine. If you think that that's the case, then you're telling me that the head coach actually has influence over the way his players play.
Exactly. If that was the case, if the head coach didn't have influence with his players to play, I think.
But coaches, you know, Isaac, coaches don't block and tackle, though.
Yeah, they don't, but, you know, it's like, it's who you get up for. I mean, you like you look at coaches like.
You don't think the Patriots players could get up for Rex if he were our coach? You don't think you would be thrilled to have a guy like Rex tweaking his nose at all the opposition just like he does from a New York perspective? Come on. You and everybody else, Isaac, in Patriots Nation would be unbelievably right behind Rex and glad he were the coach if the shoes were on the other foot.
You know,
Pardon the pun.
I guess I'm just a Bill Belichick guy and I just can't. Maybe it is. Maybe he will have.
Well, that's why you got to expand your mind to this possibility. Yeah. All we're doing here is doing what if. That's all we're doing. You got to open up your mind beyond, hey, Bill Belichick is our coach. You got to say, all right, look at it from a personnel point of view. How much influence really does a coach have on the execution? The coach can give the game plan.
Let me give you this, John. Maybe I admit to it once he's fired from the Jets. I just can't, by me hating the Jets. Okay.
All right. That's fair. At least you're honest. I like that. So sounds to me then like you're one of those. Well, then let me ask you the question that I was going to ask today. What makes you hate the Jets so much?
Bruce, I hate the Jets so much because it's like, you know, yeah, you just, every division got that team that like the number one team in that division. You got that team that tries to be just like you. I think that's what the Jets is in our division. They're the team that just want to be just like the Patriots, you know? How they did with the coaching, try to get the coaches over there, the former players that go to play for the Jets and all.
Okay.
So I think that just adds to the rivalry and why I don't like the Jets. But it's just like they want to be us, but they can't be us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my hate for the Jets. Like, they try so hard to be us, and they can't succeed at doing it. So
if this little scenario that, you know, like we talked about today had actually occurred, you'd be hating Bill Belichick right now.
Yeah, Bill Belichick would never left. You know, he would have been in close 40, 20 hours, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You'd be hating on Bill Belichick. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'd be making fun of his press conferences, you know.
Yes, we all would be. We all be absolutely. We're on to Cleveland. Or we're on to Cincinnati. Oh, we'd be killing that. You know we'd be killing it. Just like we killed Rex with the whole foot fetish thing. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Yeah. But another thing I would say about rivals today, I think rivals are not the same no more. Because, you know, I think back in the day, the rivals, like, these players really didn't like each other. But nowadays, you got these players, they work out together in the offseason. So I just don't think rivals are the same thing as it used to be back in the days. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think these guys, they're friends now. You know, you got social media, they work out together. So I think, like, the rivalries are now of football, it's watered down now. It's not the same as it was, like.
Well, you do. Right? The rivalry definitely has more starch in it. When both teams are good, both teams are playing for something. And that's obviously not the case this year, so that does take a little wind out of the sails here. There's no doubt about that. But I absolutely, you know, if you can adore something, I adore this rivalry because it goes beyond just winning and losing. It goes to lifestyle, it goes to habits, it goes to the personnel, it goes to the whole New York, New England thing. I mean, this is as close as we have to a rivalry right now in the entire NFL. The Cowboys and Redskins isn't near what it used to be because that was a whole Landry versus, you know, George Allen thing. This doesn't exist elsewhere, and that's what I'm proudest of. I'm actually proud that there is a rivalry that exists like this between two professional teams because it gets emotion, it gets people involved, people care, that's what being a fan really is all about.
Exactly. And I'm going to get to my focus on the game. Since today is WTF Wednesday.
Yeah.
I would say the focus moving on to the Jets is fast start. So this is a Jets team that I think if we can get up early because, you know, they struggle to score points. So we can just start off fast, score points fast. I think we can put the game away. But if we let them stick around, you know, and let them go on halftime with hope, you know, they probably can come out and win this game.
Hey, Isaac, I got a good one for you. Let's take the football when we win the coin toss, right? Take the football.
man, I can't go there, man. I love.
And it's not going to happen. It's just not. I know it's not going to happen. They're not going to do that. They'll never do that again. I'm firmly convinced that they will. We will never see the Patriots take the ball after winning the coin flip ever again.
Take the field first. What about a pit sit or a scoop and run for a touchdown?
Yeah, see, that's what worries me. New York loves to run the football, and so if they get the football to start the game, they're going to run it. They're going to try to do exactly what the Packers did successfully, and other teams have also tried to do, and that's keep the ball out of Brady and the offense's hands. And the only way that you can combat that is by taking the ball yourself. But we won't do that because we're stubborn.
Yeah, I know. I think we just got to start fast. Well,
I'm starting on my nitpicks already for next week.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing. A tease for on tomorrow's show. You're going to love my picks for tomorrow.
Your pick for tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm going to leave you a little tease. You're going to love
All right.
prediction for tomorrow.
Okay, sounds like All a plan. Right, good stuff, Isaac. That's good. Here's Miles in Boston. Miles, you're up next to the playbook.
How's it going, buddy?
Good, Miles.
I say that Rich wins. I think that Rich would win five.
You think he would have won the other two?
I think my thing is like this. This is one thing I give Rex. I don't discredit Belichick. I love his defensive mind, but when they talk about his defensive mind, you're talking in a certain era we had those players.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And he's been riding off of that for a long time, because if you really look at since, I don't know, what, 04?
Yeah.
I mean, what really has a defense either that we could stop the run, but we couldn't stop the deep ball. We could stop the deep ball, but we couldn't stop the run.
So
it was like, it's either that, but Rex, he brings this nasty, and anytime I watch their games, though, I love when he sets up that rush.
Yeah.
I think he has that ability to set that up better than Belichick does. Because all these years, what everybody said about Rex, defense, whether they were fantastic, okay, but they were never below average like we'd have been, in our past. But I don't discredit Belichick either, but I look at certain games that we played, and I said, I bet you if that was correct, I bet you would have played Green Bay different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying, as far as defense-wise, and so forth. I mean, I give credit where credit's due. I mean, Rex is a excellent coach when it comes down to his defensive mind, and also, I think, also with players, because even being from the street, one thing you got to do is like, okay, I believe that players fear Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhat respect him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course they respect him because of all his wins, but because of his, you know, his personality and this, that, the other, and so forth, but people will roll and die with a guy like Rex. You know, they'll play life out. And I think the owners held him back. The choices that they made hold him back. I don't think it's always been Rex at all. I think it's because of decisions. So if he had everybody that we've had, and he had the support that Bill's had, I believe I'll stick with four, maybe not five, but I'll stick with four.
You know, that's really interesting, and I'm glad you brought all that up, because I kind of tend to agree with you. I really do. The more that I sit here and I think about this, and I'm just thinking about it for the first time since Eric brought it up 20 minutes ago. So I really gave this no thought today at all, and then Eric just blows me away with this question. I say, well, that's too good not to use today. So that's why, you know, I'd love to get some feedback on this from you and from those who are listening today, because frankly, I think there's this takes nothing away from Coach Belichick, okay?
No,
nothing.
No.
There's no way. I mean, this is sort of a fun thing to do, because there's no way, obviously, we'd ever really get a definitive answer here. But because of his strengths as a coach and weaknesses in other areas, sure, I think you could say that he could win at least three, and you could see that maybe he could have won an extra one or two. Yeah, I think it's possible.
You know why? Because you got to realize is that what his weaknesses are his coaching staff.
Yeah.
Our coaching staff was our strength.
Yeah.
You know, Bill touched on all.
I agree.
He stood all.
I agree. Miles, I think you just smashed it out of the park. The weakness was, yeah, I agree. The weakness, one of his weaknesses has been his staff. But all we're doing now is, again, swapping out staffs. Now, we realize in reality here that, you know, if he had been here as a head coach, he'd have brought in his own staff. But that's not the question that I'm asking. So that's why this is fun. Yeah.
I'm going from coach to coach. At those times, our players, our staff, I believe that there probably would have been even an earlier.
Interesting.
Super Bowl.
Interesting.
Because I'm telling you, anytime I watch the Jets play and their defense, this, that, the other, and I'm just seeing how he schemes, he brings it. Like, he brings it. Like, when we bring it, I'm just like, it seems like slow motion. And we get there. Like, we're taking the bus and not the train. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, I just think in just that one little area of just defensive scheming,
mm-hmm. yeah.
He brings consistency, but guess what? He changes his consistency up with mm-hmm. the same type of pass rush.
Right, right.
And I mean, there's no outstanding stars. He had some good guys, but he tricked those guys to even be better.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think what we've had, I mean, we've been very fortunate. We've been blessed. We've been everything else in the book. But at the same time, I just believe that in just that one area, we could have did a little bit more. We could have did more because of the staff. That if we're keeping our staff, keeping everything, keeping the owner even giving him some play on it, saying, "Hey, what do you think? What do you want to do?"
Mm-hmm.
Boom. I think we would be a step further.
Wow, Miles, that's good stuff, babe. That's good stuff.
All right, buddy.
Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate that. Let's find out what Chad in the ATL has to say. Chad, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, how's it going?
Good.
So give me your guidelines again real quick. It's just coach for coach, right?
Just coach for coach. Everything else is the same, okay? Players, assistants, everything else, ownership, everything else is the same. All we're doing is going back to the year 2000 and swapping out these coaches.
Hmm.
And Belichick stays in New York. Rex ends up coming to New England. Would the Patriots still have 3 Super Bowls or maybe more or less?
To be honest with you, I think we'd have less.
Less. Okay, so you obviously don't think as much of Rex's ability to manage.
No, it's not really that. I like him as a coach. I think he's a very good coach. But Bill Belichick is a genius. And, I mean, it's that whole I'm glad he's on our team kind of perspective, because do you really want Bill Belichick game planning for Tom Brady or game planning for Gronk? He takes away your best weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So from a Patriots fan aspect of it, I really, really do not want to have to go against Bill Belichick, to be honest with you. That's my take on it. So I don't think we would have our success that we have now if Rex is on the team, if Rex is coach. That's just my
Okay, I think that's a fair assessment. And I'm going to guess here, Chad, that the majority of Patriots fans would probably side with you in this. But I think it's at least intriguing enough to ask, because there are a lot of things I do like about Rex Ryan as a head coach that he doesn't quite get enough credit for, because New York is just a very difficult place in which to live and to be successful. But we know how New Englanders love to bang on New York, and we know how New Yorkers could kind of like care less about New Englanders. That's kind of how they look at it. It's like they're, you know, little stepbrothers, redheaded stepchild children, and they don't think much about us at all, which is part of the fun of the whole rivalry.
But now here's another good question. What would come of Mark Sanchez if Bill Belichick was still
there? That's a great, very good question.
I mean, there's a lot of tension in the Jets locker room that I don't think would be there had Bill Belichick been in charge. So.
Yeah, I think that's also true. I also think that he would have probably backed Sanchez. He would have tended to back him a little bit more maybe than Rex would have. Sanchez might even still be there, because I just don't know. With Belichick's strong personality, I just don't know that he would have let that situation get out of control like it did within the New York media.
I agree completely.
Sanchez might still be, you know, throwing the ball there. It's possible. That's entirely possible.
That's all I got for you, John. That's my two cents on it.
All right, good stuff, Chad. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. 855-PATS-500. Toll free, 855-728-7500. Toll free number. Swap out the head coaches. Bill Belichick, head coach of the JETS since 2000, and Rex Ryan is where Bill Belichick is today. Are the Patriots as successful as they have been? More successful or less successful? I'm sure that you have to scratch your head a little bit on this one. More or less successful? All right, let's see if we can get a couple of Let's see if we can get a couple of things in here. Oh, then the email has decided to freeze up on me here. Let me see if I can get it real quick before we have to reboot things. Chanel just sent this via email. She goes, let me start with, I may hate the Jets, but I think Rex is a genius. Now, do I believe we will be as good? Absolutely. Not only our defense will be outstanding, and I believe Bill will have a winning record no matter where he goes. Bill was just made to win, I think. Laugh out loud. Anyway, Jets had their chances with Bill. Those days are long gone. Okay, fair enough. Rex is a genius. All right, so Chanel, it sounds to me then what you've kind of gone with here is that you think that the Patriots would be at least as good. Yes, I believe we would be as good, absolutely. Not only our defense would be outstanding, and I believe Bill would have had a winning record no matter where he goes. So we would be at least as good, but the Jets would be better than they are right now if Belichick were still there. I also think that's an important point to bring up, because if you're saying that, then how do the Patriots and the Jets kind of match up with each other if these two coaches have swapped spots? Interesting. Kind of intriguing there, in all honesty. All right, John in South Carolina says, you guys realize what you just said is Rex Ryan could have coached this team better than Bill Belichick. I get what you were saying, that if Ryan was here and Belichick was there, would we be making fun of Bill for being a stick in the mud? Yes, you're right. That is a fan thing. You find whatever reason you can find to not like the other guy. That's correct. When you say Rex Ryan would be loved because he would be a three-time Super Bowl champ, you were saying he is a good enough coach that he would have coached those teams to three Super Bowls. So he's as good a coach as Bill Belichick. I don't believe you're correct, but he might have. Maybe those teams were just that good, even though you guys kindly say the players were not that talented. All we're doing here, again, John, is just swapping out the head coaches. And would the Patriots still be three-time champs, less or more? That's all we're saying here. Don't read anything more into it. And then John says, whenever Eric says they would have five Super Bowls and you, Mr. Rook, say they would have had four, what you're saying is Rex Ryan is a better coach. That's not what I said. That's not what we said, John. Stop putting words in our mouth. That's not what we said. I'm just saying, you have to say the words to mean the words. I didn't say Rex Ryan is a better coach than Bill Belichick, nor did I say Bill Belichick is necessarily a better coach than Rex Ryan. I'm asking a question. Will the Patriots have the same, more, or less? You're the one making the leap, not me. So when people call you negative, understand it is crap like this that makes you come across as negative. There's nothing negative about this, you moron. Good grief. Chill out. There's nothing negative about this. I'm simply just asking a question. Good Lord. Come on, John. You're better than that. Just listen to the words coming out of my mouth, will you? Can't have fun around here anymore. Gabe in Newtown, Pennsylvania. Hi, John. First of all, there is no, and I mean no, comparison of Rex would have won the same amount of championships or did even better. That is preposterous. Let me take you back, shall we? Let's take a trip to 2004 when the Pats were trailing. Denver 24-23, 3:06 left on the clock at the one-yard line. Oh, good, story time. Bill told Lonnie to hike the ball through the end zone, thus giving up a safety. Why? Well, first off, being able to have more room to punt the ball. Second, pinning Denver with bad field position and knowing that he would get the ball back. If they had just punted, Denver would have pretty much gotten a field goal and run out the clock. Pure genius. Rex would have missed the bed, punted, pretty much would have lost that game. Well, see, but we don't know that, Gabe. We don't know. We don't know. That's the whole idea behind this. You don't know how he would have acted. You don't know how he would have reacted in that particular instance. Look, you people, you guys are thinking way too much here. Stop thinking. Just react. Bill is not your head coach. Just for argument's sake, Bill is not your, Bill is the coach of the evil Jets. And we're harping on everything. We love the fact that he's, you know, on to Cincinnati, you know, and he says nothing in his press. We love that. We make fun of it all the time. But in this case, in this argument, Rex is our guy. All I'm asking you is would this team have won the same, won more, or won less in terms of Super Bowls? I'm not saying, oh, that makes Rex a better coach. You're saying that Rex is better than Bill Belichick. What? You're an idiot. You're negative. No, it's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm saying. God, only some of our listeners, Kev. Goodness gracious. He says, the other two giant games fell on the helmet catch, then a Welker's drop. Nothing would have changed those. Rex is a good coach, but Bill is the master, and no one even comes close. Enough said. All right, that's fair. still doesn't quite ask my question, answer my question, but that's fine. Howard in Stratford, Connecticut. Let's see if he comes up with one here. He says, I believe that Rex Ryan is a classic example of the Peter principle, which is when someone is promoted to one level higher than their level of confidence. In Rex's case, he's phenomenal defensive coordinator, but is in over his head when he needs to manage the entire team from a head coaching position. Maybe he learns from his mistakes during his tenure as Jets head coach, like BB learned from his mistakes while at Cleveland. That's a good comparison. But I honestly don't believe he will, because his attention to detail isn't at the level required to be an HC in the NFL. As to your question, I disagree that he would be as good as BB. I go back to the fact that even with Tom Brady, you need to be able to focus on all three phases of the team, and Rex tends to overemphasize defense at the expense of the offense and special teams. Okay, I'll buy that. As for BB with the Jets, I think his system that he has installed in New England would be successful in New York. Maybe not three Super Bowls successful, but a lot more successful than Rex has been there. All right. See, Howard's talking some sense here. Howard has a way of, you know, of cutting to the quick and, you know, taking what we're dishing here and not, you know, turning it into something else that it's not, John. Let's see, John, this is Matthew, who's Matt in Watertown. This is to answer Eric's question. No, BB is a far better coach. With Ryan at the helm, Pats and TB12 would have had a different philosophy and team focus that would be an almost 180-degree turn from do your job. See, I don't think so, Matt. I really don't believe that. Ryan's aggressive blustering and defensive ideology had the Jets successful for 2 years until it caught up to them, and all of a sudden they found out their offense sucked and set the team back for another 4 or 5 years. I'm not so sure I agree with that either. Rex has had his job for 6 years and no division titles or championships to show for it, and is in danger of losing his job. Well, but there's a reason why he has no division titles or championships to show for it, because he's had to coach against Bill with the Patriots personnel. All I'm saying is, if he had the Patriots personnel and Belichick was in New York, would it be different? BB has had his job for almost 15 years and has loads of team turnover and still has a myriad of accomplishments that can help him win the case for greatest coach of all time in any sport. Okay. Okay. It's fine to love Bill. It's okay. It's okay. Let's see. Dan in San Antonio says, John, don't let these clowns get to you. This is the first time I've ever heard you get mad about an emailer. No, I'm not mad. I'm not mad. It's just that some people don't want to hear what it is you're trying to say, Dan. That's all. Some people have their own agenda. And I realize that talk radio is largely an agenda-driven form of media and information passing. I understand that. And sure, I have my own agenda, but guess what? I kind of host this show, so yeah, I'm gonna drive an agenda, and it's up to you to agree or disagree. Now, John could come back on and say, well, I disagree with your premise, and here's why. And that would be the normal way to handle it. No, what he's gotta try to do, though, is tear somebody down on the way to showing you, by the way, not necessarily backing up his opinion, but by showing you how ludicrous you are, and, you know, and by trying to get you to admit to something that you didn't say in the first place. This is a simple question. This is a simple question. I'm not mad. It's just that, you know, I understand. Actually, I kind of get what John's trying to do. He's trying to turn it in his favor to drive his agenda. But I'm not letting him do that, because he's not sitting on one of these microphones here across from me. If he wants to have, you know, an equal debate on this, then, you know, John can pick up the phone and we can talk about this. But I don't think he wants to do that. So, because largely, I think he's wrong. Plain and simple. He says, some people have nothing better to do than complain or bitch about something. They have something permanently logged up there behind. Well, I would tend to agree. Here's Gabe. Says, follow-up. The syzygy of Bill, Brady, and Vinatieri are what made the Pats a dynasty, by the way. There you go. Using our word of the day. Leave it to Gabe to turn it all over and do it that way. Nicely done. Nicely done. All right, back to the phones here. Noel in Denver. Hey, Noel, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, how you doing today?
Good, sir.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Great to hear it. By the way, this is going to be a fun game to watch. To answer your question, I just feel that Belichick, Rex would not have won as many as Belichick if Rex was there, and really because of the way that Belichick creates chemistry amongst his players.
Okay.
Yeah, last year was a prime example. If Belichick was in New York, he'd have had Revis. I think, and Revis's attitude wouldn't have been the way it was, and so on. I think Belichick would win more if he was in New York, and I think that we'd have won less if Ryan was here in New England.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's more of an understanding of how to put every player together with good chemistry. I don't think Rex gets that. He's a great defensive coach. I really believe that. I think he's a nice guy, and I think he understands, you know, how to rah-rah-rah kind of stuff. But that doesn't make a good team. A team makes a good team, and I think Belichick's better at putting people in the right places than Ryan would ever be.
Okay, that's fair. I happen to think, though, that it seems to me that Rex sometimes squeezes more out of his guys because they do like playing for him. So I think if that were on the other foot and actually here in New England, I think we'd be seeing a lot of the same things that we actually see today. It might be a little bit more vocal. It might be a little bit more demonstrative. But I think we still see some of the same things we see today. Again, it's just an opinion.
Well, it's just speculation on my part. That's true.
Yep, no question. But that's the whole fun in this, Noel. It's not, I'm not saying that Rex is a better coach than Bill. I mean, that would be ludicrous to say because we're dealing in a hypothesis here. What I'm asking is the support, is the organization built up enough here in New England that Rex could have had similar, if not better or worse, a performance than Bill Belichick has had? That's what I'm asking.
You certainly could have a point there, because when you look at the owner of the Patriots versus the owner of the Jets.
Bingo.
There you go.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly what I would take a look at. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about, if I may, is I watch the Denver games because I live here in Denver, and I listen to the people here, and the Terrence Knighton deal, they actually had that on the local news this morning, and the headline was, just so you know, Terrence Knighton not scared of Brady.
Nice. Well, I can't imagine that anybody's going to do that. I mean, no one's going to say I'm scared of Tom anyway.
No, I know that. But they put a spin on it, so it's good for the fans here locally.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tom didn't criticize it with his statement that he made. He just says, get the job done, period.
Right.
And his dad said, instead of saying, well said, well done. That's a great statement, by the way.
Right.
The other thing is that I want to discuss with you, I want to ask you, should we, and I believe we will, I believe we'll get by the Jets, although it'll be a tough battle the first half, but I think all adjustments will take place. I've been watching Peyton Manning now every week. I was just with a friend's house in Arizona, my old neighbor, and reserving my room for the Super Bowl. So.
Got it.
Anyway, and we were talking too, and he thoroughly agrees with me that Manning, there is something terribly wrong with Peyton Manning right now. Injury-wise.
Yeah, I've heard this from several sources around the country, guys who cover the NFL that believe that there's something to that, Noel.
Well, that's what I was going to ask about your feelings on that, because I watch him and I see the throws that he made in San Diego, and as Colin Cowherd says, it's like, that's in the best weather ever, These cornerbacks can't be that bad, because that ball sets up there a while. He's either got phenomenal timing or... but I think that our cornerbacks would get to that ball. I don't know how your feelings are about that.
Yeah, I think that they could, and I actually kind of agree with some of the thought process there about, potentially Peyton may be, if he's hurt, okay. Injured, I don't really know to what extent, but he doesn't certainly seem to have the same directional zip on the ball that he had earlier in the year. I guess you'd have to watch him pretty closely to watch similar pass routes to really get a definitive word on that. Now, let me ask you, because I'm sure you would know this better than a lot of us. Has anybody in the local media asked either him or John Fox about his health lately?
Well, John Fox, he spins things real fast, and he's a real nice fella. He doesn't say a lot, but what's being said is that. And this is all over the media, is that we've had to establish a running game for the playoffs, and that's what they've done. And that's what every media reporter is sticking to.
Okay.
And I think it's the opposite. I think they're running the ball more because he can't throw it as well.
Well, it could be a kind of a double-edged thing. He can't do it, but, we do need to work on the running game, so let's just do this and hope that, a little bit of less time, trying to throw the ball will help him out.
Well, you've watched him with Indianapolis as I have, and all those games and such. And I've never seen him grimace so much as I did this last game. He was in a lot of pain.
Yeah,
that's not And that's not from the flu.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good point by you, too. This bears watching over the next couple of weeks. It absolutely does. Let us know what you hear when you hear it.
Well, I will for sure. And I've got some items going on tomorrow. Can I give you a pick for tomorrow's, for Sunday's game?
You can. You certainly can, although I will tell you that we'll do our best to try to remember it. I guess you will. Well, so if you win, then I'm sure you'll call me.
I'll email it. No problem.
No worries.
Okay, John. Thanks for taking my call. Have a great day, sir, and go Pats on Sunday.
You got it, Noel. Thank you, buddy. That's good stuff. Chris is in Atlanta. Chris, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Chris.
All right, I have some questions before I talk, but do they draft the same players when they're in the...
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think that Rex Ryan would have never... He wouldn't have... I think he may have won one, and that might have been with Bledsoe or so. Someone like that, but I don't think he would have done it. I think he would have probably lost his job.
Actually, all we're doing here, again, if Rex Ryan, you know, we're talking about the same scenario. So Rex Ryan is the head coach when Drew Bledsoe gets blown out by Mo Lewis, and in comes Tom Brady.
Okay. Well, I still think that he's a good defensive coach for sure,
mm-hmm.
but he just looks too much on defense. He doesn't know much about offense, and that's half the game right there. If you don't know much about that, you're not going to be the greatest coach, as Bill Belichick is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Jets would have been better if Bill Belichick was there, for sure.
Yeah, I think that we can all probably agree on.
Yeah.
but at the same time, you understand that, you know, there was a reason why Bill wanted to get out of New York after being handed that job by Bill Parcells. There was a reason behind it. He didn't have quite, I don't think, the free rein that either A, Parcells was going to have, or B, that he wanted to have. And here's Robert Kraft and the Patriots offering him, you know, autonomy when he wasn't necessarily going to have that in New York.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that if it was at the time they got the job at the same time, Bill Belichick would still be at the Jets and Rex Ryan would still be at the Patriots. You know what I mean? He mm-hmm. would have ended up losing his job somehow. Mm-hmm. He would have. I don't think the team would have been as great for sure. And they keep saying people don't like people want to play for Rex Ryan. You know, players. I think players want to play for Bill Belichick as much, if not more, probably at this point. You know what I mean?
You don't think the Jets players want to play for Rex?
Oh no, they do. But I think the Patriot players want to play more for Bill Belichick. You know what I mean? Like, because players want to come to New England. They want to win. They want to play with Brady, and they want to play with Bill Belichick. They want to play with them.
Then let me ask you this then, and I'm just kind of making conversation here, but why do you think Darrelle Revis initially wanted to return to New York?
Because that was his home. That was where he was drafted at. That's where he loved it there.
Mm-hmm. So why couldn't other guys like Revis love it there? Again, I'm just kind of playing hypothetical here.
Well, he did love it. He liked it there. And they forced him out. They traded him as soon mm-hmm. as he got hurt. One injury, he was out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference between the Patriots and the Jets. You know, one injury, you're out. You know?
See, I'm not so sure that if Bill Belichick had been the coach there, that they ever get rid of Revis. Just
Absolutely
like,
not.
Just no like way. I don't think they get rid of Sanchez. I think he would have run with him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. I think Mark Sanchez would have developed differently with Bill Belichick.
I also agree with that. I do agree with that. And again, this is all hypothetical, I know, but it's actually kind of interesting to think about how, you know, really one simple move, one move, and all we're doing is swapping out head coaches and everything else is the same, how it could have changed the fortunes of National Football League history. It's bizarre to even consider, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a fun thing to do. It really has no bearing, of course, on the game at all this weekend, but I mean, how can you X and O against a 3-11 team? It's kind of hard to do, you know? I mean, do we all know that the Patriots should win this game? Absolutely. We all know that they should win this game. However, I will tell you that, you know, frankly, I think the Jets are going to make this very difficult on them, and it won't be the walkover that a lot of people are undoubtedly going to predict tomorrow.
Well, they do have Harvin now, who's really fast. So, when they have – their defense is really, really good. They gave us problems, a little bit of problems in the first game. So,
mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, Tom Brady – all of them, they're gonna get their, you know, together, and they're gonna have a blowout in the first half, but I think the second half is definitely gonna be where all the changes coming back from halftime like they usually do. And
sure.
They're going to do what they need to do.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. Thanks.
All right, man.
Chris.
Have a good day.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much for that. All right. Chris in Atlanta. Oh, and now this is not working. Come on, phone system. Here we go. There we go. Ah, love it when the phone system is a little bit slow, and also the internet's a little bit slow. It looks like they're rebooting things here at Patriots.com, so everything is wicked slow. Even Kevin is wicked slow because he's had to go off to the mailroom, so I'm sitting here by myself now. let's see if we can do this right. What do we have here? Oh, my goodness gracious. Here we go. All right, I got to make sure that I got a couple of I know I had some Facebook posts here, and here they come. Oh, Belarco in Los Angeles says, the offense has to start with a quick pace and take an early lead on his hashtag WTF Wednesday. I think our defense is better than it was on October 16th when it comes to stopping the run and controlling the time of possession. Let's just get a win and get that bye week. And by the way, as far as I know, the Dolphins fight song was written before. It was written during the undefeated series and the lyrics signifying that. The Oilers fight song came later as they hired the same songwriter. Songwriter didn't make enough money and didn't get credit for his famous fight song, so he rewrote the song for the Oilers to make more money. Really? Is that what it said on Google? That's what I'm going to have to go back and look at that. Because I had never heard that Miami fight song. Ever. Ever heard that Miami fight song. Until after I had heard Love You Blue for the Oilers. That's all I'm saying. Maybe it just has something to do with the fact that's kind of where I grew up. And that's, you know, the football team that I was following and covering at the time. He says, in the end, it doesn't matter because the song stinks. Oilers don't exist anymore. The Dolphins have been jinxed ever since. Finally, all those who can't afford to go to Gillette, the tickets to the Jets game are super cheap. Invade that stadium. Really? Where are they super cheap? Are you going to StubHub? Are you going to the NFL Ticket Exchange? Where are you going with that? That's kind of interesting to find out about. So there are tickets available? Oh, interesting. Interesting. Okay. All right. I see that. Got a tweet here from Chris who says, JR Broadcaster, are you nuts? Not even a question. No, BB has a special kind of focus, acumen, experience, and drive. No friggin' way. So I guess to sort of paraphrase, because it's tougher to do 140 characters on Twitter here, he doesn't think that the Patriots would have won as much under Rex as they have won under Belichick. That's fair. Good thing you're not sitting on the fence on that one, Chris. John in South Carolina undoubtedly thinks I'm nuts, too. That's okay. It really just does not matter. Chanel says, John, since Rex is losing his job, imagine Rex on our defensive staff. Two geniuses on our team. Unstoppable, man. See, you know, I actually have thought of that too, Chanel. I don't know that they decide to give up on the current, you know, route that they're traveling, largely of, you know, promoting guys from within. You know, Matt Patricia holding onto the role now. But if he were to move on and, you know, get another opportunity someplace else, I'm not sure he's quite head coaching material. But, you know, let's just say he gets a shot somewhere else to kind of ply his trade. You know, that would be unusual. That would be unusual. I don't know that you could do that. I don't know that the two egos could fit side by side within the same locker room. Certainly, if you were able to, you know, match wits with the two against the rest of the league, there'd be a lot of talk about it. There's no question. I just don't know if the egos would allow for both to be there. That's really the thing that I think that you probably have to think about the most. Only because, you know, it's pretty clear to see when Rex holds, you know, his conference calls and such that, you know, he's the man and very few, you know, the show's largely about him. That's kind of the way it turns out. Show is always usually about Rex, and I think that's probably one of the bigger differences. He has to sort of, you know, steal the spotlight to keep it from shining on some of the deficiencies within the team. And maybe that's part of the reason why some of you are clearly deciding one way that there's no way that the Patriots would be as successful as they are under Belichick if they had had Rex Ryan running the show. Because there are some deficiencies there. Interesting way to put it. I may have to get after Eric for suggesting this question today. the story around Jets camp today was, for the second time in 6 weeks, I believe it is, a plane circled the practice field in Jersey for the Jets. It carried a banner behind it that said, Penalty Flag Day 1221, firejohnidzik.com. So I guess this is a fan group that has its own website. I assume that's firejohnidzik.com. Rented a plane that flew over the practice during the media periods where the media could actually see the banner flying over the field. And apparently this group of fans has purchased billboard space near MetLife Stadium. They're also planning to distribute about 10,000 Fire Idzik flags at the game against the Patriots on Sunday. Flags have already apparently been handed out at some of the local bars in the area. Idzik, by the way, and Woody Johnson, the team owner, were not present to see what media and players saw over the practice field today for the Jets. And, of course, the entire situation just sort of manifested itself because Woody Johnson, the Jets owner, has been let's just say he's sort of been quiet about the entire situation. And you would expect him to be until he's ready to make a call on what he's going to do. Why would you let things leak out? That's only going to lead to more trouble. But he sort of kind of kick-started this whole thing because there was a Twitter mishap, in case you had not heard. There was a fan who tweeted to Woody Johnson, and his Twitter handle is at WoodyJohnson4. And the tweet was, at WoodyJohnson4, you really need to hashtag fire Idzik at this point. This roster is garbaggio. G-A-R-B-A-G-I-O. And believe it or not, the Jets owner favorited the tweet. That's what caught everybody's attention. Now, he has since said that he mistakenly favorited the tweet because he's just punching buttons, and I think we all realize that we've all done this. You know, you've favorited something, or you friended somebody on Facebook, or you've liked something you didn't mean to, and then you unlike it, and you just don't mean to do it because you're hitting the wrong button. You got fat fingers like I have, or you know, or you got a phone that sometimes you just don't know quite how to handle, or it happens to everybody. But the first move you make is the one that is usually going to get recognized, and because of that, and because of the volatility of the entire situation now, that was, you know, taken with and run off with by a lot of people. And the owner did issue a sort of a mea culpa, last night, in fact, that was not his intent to like or to favor that, or that he was going to take that suggestion under advisement or anything else. It was just sort of, oh, I punched the wrong button and the wrong thing came up and, you know, yada, yada. That's basically what happened. So anyway, I think the whole thing is kind of funny, to be honest with you, because it really can only happen to the Jets. And that's kind of how it, that's usually how it goes with these guys. In fact, I just found the tweet that Woody Johnson, the Jets owner, tweeted back out in response. He says, have to be more careful when scrolling through my Twitter feed. The tweet I most recently favorited was inadvertent. That was it. That was his response. Inadvertent tweet. But you gotta admit, you would think that he would certainly be careful with something like that. And why would you even, I mean, maybe he was trying to hit delete. I don't know. But you got to know that people are watching your every move. I mean, my goodness, you're the owner of the Jets. And you got a coach who's well-liked by the players, who's not having any success. You got a general manager who has come in and has had to work with his coach and try to bring in players and hasn't been doing very well at either of his jobs. And as an owner, you are also getting hammered from both sides of the fence here. Because you're not making a decision, and because the entire ship is listing. I don't think that if Bill Belichick were the coach or the GM or both of the Jets, that this ship would be listing. But I also don't think that if Rex Ryan were here and this scenario had actually played out as we've sort of surmised today, I really don't believe that the Patriots would be as bad off as the Jets are now because of the support structure that's in place, the ownership that's in place. I largely think that a lot of this has been brought on by Woody Johnson and Jets management and his decisions at GM and everything else. I don't necessarily believe that it's really been Rex's fault. One of the things that we'll talk about in just a little bit. But I kind of get the impression that, you know, that there's been some help here. That he has had some help here overall. Kev in Australia says, JR broadcaster, no way Rex could do everything Bill does. Coach, GM, press conference, Jedi. Rex is as mad as a box of frogs. Oh, not Australia, UK. Thank you, Kev. Appreciate that. Yeah, that may very well be, and I guess again I can understand why the initial thought is well, there's no way that the Patriots could be as good because Rex isn't as good as Bill. But given the infrastructure and given the way the system's set up and given the way that he has support from his ownership, could a guy like Rex Ryan have been successful here? My argument is that he probably could have, because I really believe that the organization goes more deeply than just the coach having free reign over the entire organization. I just think it goes deeper than that. It's kind of how I'm looking at it. Howard says, just an additional comment. It is interesting to me that from a press conference perspective, Rex Ryan is much more like Bill Parcells than Bill Belichick is. With Bill Parcells, the press conference was all about him and his rapport with the press, very much like Rex and his way of handling the press, and very opposite of the way BB handles the press. Second point, Pete Carroll was also a player's coach who is as good a defensive mind and coordinator as Rex. Unfortunately, he was strapped with a personnel manager in Bobby Greer that doomed him to failure with the talent he provided him to coach. As I believe Pete has more say in personnel in his second stint as a head coach in Seattle, he has also had more success. So I do think Rex would be successful with the talent here in New England. I just don't think he would have been as successful. That's probably as fair an evaluation of the entire question as we've gotten. Successful, yes. As successful, because we have seen some of the shortcomings, paraphrasing here what Howard would be saying, but we've seen some of the shortcomings. They've, you know, kind of come out like, you know, warts popping out on your hand here. He might not have been as successful, but he would have had some success. So, you know, 1-2 Super Bowls. Do you win 3 because of the way that the Patriots, you know, had kind of handled things, you know, and sort of, you know, went back to back and used that momentum from 1 year from 03 into 04. I mean, you know, could Rex have, would he have gotten in the way of things? See, that's where I kind of think no, because I really believe that the team was built strongly enough at that time where even Rex Ryan, even with his shortcomings, I don't believe that he would have been able to mess it up. I don't really believe that he would have messed it up. That's the main thing. And so I think he would have been as successful. He could have been more successful because then you don't know how coaches will treat individual play calls or treat individual matchups. And as we were talking about with Eric, you know, earlier in the last hour, we don't know what he would have called in that particular instance. You know, it's all supposition. It really is. So that's kind of what we're dealing with here. Still love to get your thoughts on it. Webradio at patriots.com, 855-PATS-500, the toll-free telephone number. That's also open and available to you as well. All right, let's move on now to this current Jets team at 3-11. And as we suggested earlier, Larry Hardesty covers the Jets amongst all things New York for ESPN Radio in New York. Joined us here inside the playbook. Hey, Larry, good to talk to you. Thanks for the time today.
Hey, John, how are you?
Excellent. So I guess really what we're all kind of wondering here from a large perspective is whether or not this is the last time Rex Ryan gets to match up or match wits, if you will, with Bill Belichick as a head coach, certainly of the Jets, but maybe even in the NFL for the foreseeable future. Any thought to that from your perspective?
Well, you're probably seeing him for the last time as head coach of the Jets. Yeah, this will probably be it for him. I don't see how he survives this season. Not that it was all his fault, but there were some things in his control excuse me, John, that he didn't handle well. A lot of the penalties, a lot of the discipline situation where you'd have too many men on the field, especially defensively, guys not getting off bad communication. I think those you have to lay at his doorstep, the amount of penalties they have. I think those are coaching things. From a personnel standpoint, listen, he didn't have the best deck to work with, to say the least. But I think, unfortunately, this is going to be the last time you'll see him as head coach of the Jets. I think he'll get another head coaching job in the NFL, but I'm not sure how well it will be. I do think that he could get a coordinator's job as soon as he picked up a phone.
Yeah, I would also agree with that. Anything to make of the banner that flew over the field of practice today, firejohnidzik.com?
Well, it's the second time we've seen that banner fly over the practice field. This one, though, John, was a bit more specific. There are folks who are very angry and upset with John Idzik that he did not spend all the money they had available under the salary cap, and they are supposed to be giving out towels at this game, Fire John Idzik towels. So it's going to be interesting to see how close they get to give out these towels and what the response is going to be to the fans, the Jet fans, who actually show up for this game.
Yeah, and we've also understood that there are tickets at pretty decent prices that are available to the various ticket, you know, sites as well. So, I can understand why Jets and the Jets fans would be somewhat disgruntled with the way things are going. Do you foresee a possibility where these guys might decide, because they do, you know, still apparently like their head coach, where they might suck it up and put together a supreme effort just to try to ruin what New England has going here?
Well, I do say this is one of those cliche games where, and you've heard this before, John, where the record doesn't mean anything or you throw the record out the window.
Right.
Well, this is one of those games. It is a rivalry. Not that it's been a rivalry as far as New England side of it, because they've dominated, but it's been a rivalry for the Jets, and the Jets kind of measure themselves against how they're able to play against Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, how they match wits with Belichick from an offensive standpoint and his brilliance defensively. So for this team, and it's a divisional opponent, so for them, even though their record is 3-11, as Rex Ryan said earlier in his press conference today, they're preparing as if they are 11-3, and they know that the Patriots are preparing for them, not as a 3-11 team either.
Yeah, that's also true. We can look at the numbers and see where, you know, Rex in his career is 4-8 against the Patriots, but he does have a winning record at his home stadium against New England. There has been some success clearly there in the past. How can they use that combined with the close call and the near miss that they had against the Patriots in October here at Gillette to try to pull this thing off on Sunday?
Well, they need several things to happen, John. First of all, they have to play practically error-free football, because New England makes you pay every mistake you have. So that's the first thing they have to do. Secondly, they've got to keep Tom Brady off the field. And that's what, when they keep games close, that's what they've been able to do. And for that, they need Geno Smith to play a little better than he's played. Now, last week he did not play badly because he did not turn the football over. And as you know, John, as long as you don't turn the football over, you've got a chance to win games in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
So if he doesn't turn the football over, they're able to run the ball, eat up some clock, make some passes, get the ball down the field. It would help them if Percy Harvin's able to play a little bit more than he was able to play last week. He gave them something. Not sure what he's going to be able to give them on Sunday. He was really didn't do a lot in practice today, probably just really did some things in the group session. So we don't know what his availability is going to be. So offensively, they have to be kind of close to the vest, have a really game, eating up the clock type attitude and game plan. Defensively, excuse me, they can't give up big plays to Tom Brady. And the secondary has been abysmal all season. So, you know, the likelihood of that happening, to be quite honest, is not very good. So those are the things they have to do to make it close.
I was just going to ask you, along those same lines, do you see a scenario at all where the Jets don't have to dominate with the run game, and they could still win this game?
They would have to do it with a short passing attack, a mixture of run and pass, and they would have to do, because for me, I just think that Tom Brady is just so good, and the weapons he has such a chemistry with them, and he's excellent at the no-huddle and the hurry-up offense that they do, which limits the type of substitutions you have defensively. And the Jets will probably already be without Muhammad Wilkerson, who's had that turf toe. I don't expect him to play, although we'll see what happens as the week rolls on. And so that's a big miss for them. And so, you know, with that situation, I think it's just going to be very hard for them defensively to be able to keep Tom Brady off the scoreboard. And let's face it, John, this team has trouble scoring.
Yeah.
I mean, they average less than 20 points per game. So you've got to be able to put points up on the board if you want to get into a shouting, into a scoring match with New England.
And they also haven't really turned people over as well very much. And so because of that, you know, you've got to get extra opportunities with the ball. And I know all of that. That plays into the whole scenario that they probably got to hold on to the ball to try to, you know, have any shot of winning this game. Any sort of irony at all in how well fans or media in New York have picked up on how Darrelle Revis is returning for Rex Ryan's apparent final home game as head coach of the Jets?
Yeah, we spoke with Darrelle today, and there is a love-hate relationship with Darrelle Revis and the Jet fans. While the Jet fans love him and love his, obviously, his expertise and the way he plays the game and his ability to shut down wide receivers, they're a little upset at him because they feel he's one of the greediest football players in the National Football League. So there is a love-hate relationship there because they, you know, it's very clear that it's the money and really the relationship, I believe, with the owner and Darrelle Revis's representatives that really drew a wedge in the fact that he didn't come back. They wanted him to come back. There were members of the organization that wished he would have come back before he went to Tampa Bay. Okay. Mm-hmm. And obviously when he was a free agent, there were members, and let's face it, I'm sure Rex Ryan, he won't admit it, but I'm sure Rex Ryan wanted him back here because what defensive coach doesn't want a great corner in the secondary, especially a Rex Ryan whose really defense is predicated on the success of his corners? Because his exotic blitzes are based on the fact that he could shut down one side of the field, and he was able to do that with Darrelle Revis, and he had a very competent Antonio Cromartie on the other side, and that was the impetus to get this team defensively to an AFC championship game.
Sure.
So you know he wanted Darrelle Revis back here, but because of the money, and you knew that after this season, this is something New England is probably going to have to deal with too, John. You guys are going to be on the Revis watch at the end of the year because there's no guarantee that he's going to stay and come back next year.
No question.
Going to go for the highest bidder.
Absolutely.
So it is an interesting situation, and it's going to be interesting to see how the fans respond to him. He got some applause in the Tampa Bay uniform.
Yep.
I don't know if he's going to get applause in the New England Patriots uniform.
Could be anything but. That's exactly right. Patriots fans have also had a little fun with Josh Thomas's predicament this week. He was the Jets player that lost his playbook, and then he got released by the team yesterday. Was there any correlation at all between those two incidents?
Well, considering that Rex handed the playbook out like candy, as Mike Pettine, the Cleveland Browns coach, told us, there shouldn't be.
You would think, right?
But Rex said today there was no correlation between the two, that really Brown was here really as backup because Darren Walls had some injuries and they wanted to have some depth in the secondary, especially on the practice side.
Yep.
But I think it was just bad timing. But wink, wink between you and I, John. It certainly didn't help him, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's true. We know that, in fact, I have a very good friend of mine who is a Jets fan, who was absolutely apoplectic over the fact that the Jets won last week to get their third win, because now he was all for the Jets tanking it to try to get the top draft pick. Still, the Jets have, I guess, no worse than a top six draft pick as it now stands, because the cushion, I think, over the rest of the league between three wins and I guess it is five wins is the next team.
Mm-hmm.
Where they slide. It's way early to talk about this stuff because clearly, you know, a new coach is going to have to come in. You may have a new general manager. Who the heck knows what the Jets are going to end up with? But if you could put a need at the top of the list, what would be numero uno? Is it quarterback?
Oh, yeah, there's no question. It's quarterback because, you know, listen, John, there's not a lot of teams in the National Football League that have great secondaries. But when you don't have a great quarterback, you can't even get into a shootout with another team where you could outscore them 33-30,
yeah,
or you could outscore them 28-24. I mean, this is a passing league now. The days of, with all due respect to Rex, of ground and pound, and I know he did that, and they did that in Baltimore when Joe Flacco came in, and they ran the ball, and even Ben Roethlisberger came in, and they ran the ball. And when Mark Sanchez came in, and they ran the ball. But this is a passing league, predominantly. And I do understand that even Peyton Manning is running the ball now to have some sort of balance, but it's predominantly a passing league, and the Jets do not have a franchise quarterback. If there's one thing that they can take out of this abysmal 3-11 season that could get even worse, it's that Geno Smith proved that he was not a franchise quarterback. Is he a serviceable quarterback? Could he be a backup quarterback? Possibly. But he's not a franchise quarterback.
Right.
He's not a quarterback that can put the game on his shoulders and give you a win. He can't do that. Maybe he will be able to do that. So I think the number one need is quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, when you look at the draft now, you may have to shift your needs. You may have to say, you know what, we need a big-time wide receiver. Okay, we may have to go after somebody else in the college ranks. On the other side of the ball, you may have to say, you know what, we need a secondary. We need somebody in the corner. I don't think they will go defense first round again, but I do think they have to look offense, and I think they may have to go through the draft, not through the draft, I'm sorry, through free agent, trying to get a quarterback. For me, even if they draft a quarterback,
mm-hmm.
John, what they have to do is during training camp with the new head coach, if I was to give him one suggestion, he's got to have a legitimate open competition at quarterback.
Right.
Because this year, the Jets did not have an open competition, legitimate open competition at quarterback. Mm-hmm. When Geno Smith was told he was going to take 80% of the snaps, that's not an open competition. And I submit to you that had you had an open competition, and even if Michael Vick had won that competition, clearly, when you look at the schedule of how they started the first 7-8 games, where they had a murderous row of quarterbacks they faced, starting in week 2 with Aaron Rodgers and ending in week 7 or 8 with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning in the same week.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Geno Smith was not able, okay, to handle that.
Right.
That was far beyond
right.
what he was able to do. So
right.
I do think quarterback is the number one need, but they have to have a legitimate competition. And all due respect to Andrew Luck and RG3, you don't really have to start your rookie quarterback.
Right.
You can let him sit like Aaron Rodgers sat. It's okay. It really is.
Yep, and we've seen that happen in other places. I guess I asked that question overall because I happened to be watching Late Show with David Letterman Monday night, and I saw his top 10 list, and Marcus Mariota, the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback from Oregon, was on the show. You probably know where I'm going to go with this. And his number 3 thing on the list was, I'd like to play in the NFL. Does New York have any professional teams? And I thought clearly that was written by somebody on the Letterman staff, but I just thought that was a brilliant dig. I don't know if they told, you know, Marcus to say that or if he actually said that. And certainly with the lack of success of the New York professional football teams at this stage of the game, I can't imagine that didn't sit well with too many Jets fans.
No, and the Jets fans are in love with him. And they are, I mean, they're torn between him and Jameis Winston. Obviously, but if you were to take a quick poll, I would say that Mariota is the person that the Jet fan base wants real well. And one of the reasons is his turnover to touchdown ratio.
Yeah.
Which is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And has been throughout his career. The question is going to be though, for him and the style of the Oregon offense, and you've seen it, John, you know how quick that Oregon offense is.
Yep.
It's really kind of akin to Chip Kelly and what he's done in Philly. You know, it's based on a one read. You know where that first read is. And when you look at some stats and you see that most college quarterbacks are in a system where 30% of their offense, 30% of the time, their first read is available. I don't think in the NFL it's that high. I know it's not that high in the
right.
NFL because you'll put your best corner on the best receiver, so your number one choice is not going to be available.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, how quickly do they learn how to go through progressions, get the ball down the field? How quickly do they learn to look off defenders and make the plays and fool the defenders who are staring at them? How quickly do they recognize what looks like a blitz that's not a blitz, or there's safety help over the top, or there's a linebacker that's jumping the route? So these are the things. That's why I say it's okay for your draft quarterback,
sure.
your rookie quarterback, not to start
right
away, because there's so many things from a transition
right.
that you have to learn and become accustomed to be successful in the NFL, aside from the fact that you don't play the same caliber of player every week when you're doing college. The skill set, John, as you know, just floats. It's a roller coaster in college.
Sure is.
Even though they're bad teams in the NFL, there's very good players on every team, and the speed of the game is so much faster than it is in college.
Larry, thank you for the time today. I got one more that I wanted to ask you, though, just to get your perspective on it, because we kind of had some fun here playing What If. And okay. We talked about where Bill Belichick, you know, was for all of about 20 hours, the head coach of the New York Jets back in 2000 before he flipped and decided to come to New England, and the Patriots sent a draft choice that way and everything else. What if Bill Belichick had stayed in New York and Rex Ryan were the head coach in New England? Would Rex Ryan have been as successful as head coach here as Bill Belichick has been?
Who's his quarterback, John?
Same quarterback. Nothing has changed other than the two head coaches.
Wow.
Same personnel, same everything.
Rex would probably be almost as successful as Bill Belichick. I still would give Bill the nod because I think from a discipline standpoint and a personnel standpoint and how he drafts and how he runs his team, I think he would have an edge because Rex is just, he's such a, even with his coordinators, he's such, not that he doesn't care, I'm not saying that, but he's not a taskmaster.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Belichick's a taskmaster, and you see it.
Yep.
I just think it's very hard for you to win when you're telling your quarterback, all right, I want you to manage the game. And you're managing the game with Mark Sanchez, who had, what, off the top of my head as a Jet, 69 touchdowns and 68 interceptions in his career.
Right.
And it's hard when you have a kid like Geno Smith, who's got 8 pick sixes in his career.
Yeah.
You can't give points away like that. And yes, both of them have had, you know, moments where they were very good and they fooled you to think, hey, you know what? They're learning. They're going to be okay. I see them turn the corner. So I think Belichick might have won a couple of games where you're, you know, like, for example, the Green Bay game this year,
mm-hmm.
where the Jets lost, where they were up big in the first half.
Right.
I think if Belichick is here, they win that game. So there may be, I think a head coach is good for two or three games a year that he can make a difference in, that maybe because of an adjustment here or there that he changes it. But I think overall, Rex would have maybe a ring or two,
yep.
But I still think Bill Belichick would be, you know, I still think Bill Belichick, he wouldn't have 6 rings or 7 rings,
yeah.
however many he has.
Yeah.
He'd have a couple of rings, but it's so hard. He wouldn't have the total success because he just doesn't have the quarterback.
Got it. Good stuff, Larry. Thank you so much for spending time. That's good perspective on everything and continued success and have fun covering the Jets. At least it's not boring.
No, it's not boring, and there will be no off season for me, John. As soon as the Miami game is done, the speculation will begin. When will Rex get fired?
No question.
Will John Edzik get fired? Who's going to be? Then the searches will start. They haven't already started, so it's going to be interesting. I'm just going to enjoy the holiday, and I wish you and your family and your listeners a great holiday as well. And then roll up my sleeves and get ready for work.
There you go. Best to you, Larry. Thank you so much.
Bye, John. Take care.
You got Larry Hardesty, who covers the Jets for ESPN Radio New York, joining us here inside the Playbook. That's a good long visit. Good perspective there. And, you know, and you heard what he thought about our whole what-if scenario today in terms of Belichick and Rex Ryan, that he thought Rex would still be a winner, but maybe not quite as much as what Bill has won. I think that's kind of interesting. Harley in North Carolina. Harley, thanks for hanging in there while we talk to Larry. You're in the Playbook.
All right. I want to respond to your question about the what if, Rex and Bill stuff.
Sure.
And I want to ask you a question too, but first I'll respond to yours. I think that we wouldn't have won as much for two reasons, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
First of all, I think that Rex would have got a lot of decisions wrong
mm-hmm.
that Bill's made over the year. I don't think Rex would have ever started a 6-round quarterback when His veteran quarterback came back to help.
You think Rex would have gone back to Drew?
Yeah, and could you imagine the media debacle that would have Rex would have let him fall with that? You know, the same way that Tim Tebow
mm-hmm.
and Sanchez. I think that that's one of the reasons why Rex wouldn't have did a good job.
Yeah.
And the second reason is, if you think back to Thanksgiving, 2 years ago when we played the Jets?
Yeah.
And we scored on a kickoff. That's not Bill Belichick's not going to let that happen against us. We're going to be playing against Bill every year. There's no way you're going to score on a kickoff against Bill Belichick. He's too prepared for special teams. You know,
yeah.
He takes pride in that. I think it's something that Rex just don't take pride in.
Yeah. Okay, good. Actually, yeah, really good points, Harley. You're right. He probably would have gone back to Drew's scenario. You're probably right about that. You could certainly see, based on what we know of him, where he would have made that decision.
And, all right, I want to ask you my question.
Go ahead.
Probably a little bit more relevant.
Yeah.
Who scares you in the AFC if Rex goes there as a defensive coordinator? Now, my answer is I think it'd be really scary if he went to somebody like the Texans who's got a Javion Clowney next year coming back.
Yep.
J.J. Watt, a good front. That's something that he takes pride in. I think I'd be a good fit for him. I think it'd be a little scary if they got a quarterback. Now, I want to hear what you have to say.
I think Houston's a good pick. I think Houston's a very good pick. I mean, I'm not sure of what other teams' needs are in terms of their coaching staffs. I mean, Larry Hardesty just told us, all he's going to really have to do is pick up the phone with somebody that has an opening, and he's going to get a defensive coordinator job next year, if not another head coaching job. Someone's going to give him that opportunity. Houston would be an outstanding choice, as you suggested, based on the personnel that they have there. That could be scary. I would also tell you that, you know, I think, you know, if he decided to, you know, work in a place like Denver, or maybe work in a place like San Diego, or work in a place like Kansas City, you know, with Andy Reid. I mean, any one of those places right there would open up your eyebrows a little bit and make you look hard at that team, because now you're really going to have two, you know, masterminds, if you will, for lack of a better phrase, working toward the same goal. Question is, like I suggested earlier, someone said, well, what about, you know, Rex on the Patriots staff if an opening came up? I don't know that the two egos would be able to fit side by side, and that would invariably be a case wherever he ends up going, because he just is a dominant, you know, Class A, you know, personality type of guy, you know? So because of that, I don't know where it would work, but I think your choice of Houston is as good as any.
Yeah, well, I chose Houston just because, you know, you got him there, you got Bill O'Brien that can give a couple tips on Tom Brady and how to game plan against us, you know? So I think that'd be the best fit for him if he went somewhere in AFC, and the scariest for us. Maybe even if he went to, like, the Dolphins. The Dolphins got a decent... Right.
You know where I think he could end up, and this is just, I don't know, I'm just, I don't know why, it just kind of popped in my head, Dallas.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Dallas could use some direction. Dallas could use a return to a whole doomsday type of, you know, scenario. And that's where I think the Cowboys have their shortcomings for this season in the NFC, is because I think they've made great strides defensively over what they were a year ago, but they're not quite there yet. And a guy like Rex could actually put them over the top, you know, if they're able to stay healthier on defense than they have been. You know, again, well, just off the top of my head.
I hate the Cowboys. I think you're right. He went to Dallas.
It just seems like he would be the perfect fit for a guy like Jerry Jones, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Two guys that you just love to hate.
Yeah. I just don't want to see the Cowboys get good. Down here where I'm from, if you're either a Cowboys fan or a Panthers fan, you get sick of them.
Yeah, that's true.
Hearing them all day.
Yeah, that's I totally understand that.
Yeah, I like this year because, you know, the Panthers were expecting something and they got their heart broke.
Right.
You know, then the Cowboys the same way. I'm hoping they get their heart broke in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, they probably will, because they got a guy like Tony Romo playing quarterback. You know? I grew up a Cowboy fan, so, you know, I came by it honestly because I grew up in that part of the country, but I've never been a Tony Romo fan. Nothing personal. I just don't think the guy can win.
I just get tired of fans out. I like the players. I ain't got a problem with my team.
Right.
I think Tony Romo's a good quarterback. I think he has too much pressure on his shoulders. But
I would agree. He's a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. Harley, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate that. Moments away from the Bob Sosi Show getting on here. Did I get another email in here? I thought I had one, and I guess I don't. Okay, that's fine. I want to make sure that I got everybody talked about today that we got talked about. If you sent something in, I want to make sure that we got it in. The news of the day, as we talked about in the opening hour of the program as well, with the Patriots, had to do with looks like Dominic Easley's season could be over. The initial report came this afternoon that it was Ian Rappaport from NFL Network that said that the Patriots were prepared to put him on season-ending injured reserve. That official announcement has not yet taken place. with the Patriots. So if anything should come about in the next couple of hours, then obviously Bob will have it for you. But we haven't gotten the official word, even though it does seem that could end up being the case. Garrett Gilbert has been signed to the practice squad, and he's getting some reps in as a third-team quarterback. Other than that, that's been pretty much it. There are other players that appear to be healthy that look like they're going to be okay. So, you know, it looks like it's business as usual, getting ready to head toward the Jets on Sunday. It seems to me, and we'll be dealing a lot more with the actual what you should do as far as a game plan is concerned with a team like New York and 3-11 who's not playing for anything. Look, you only have to go back as far as October the 16th to remember that the Jets very easily could have won that game. You know, blocked field goal away from potentially winning that game. Geno Smith had one of his better individual performances. It wasn't an overwhelming performance, but it was a good, solid performance that day, and we were all sort of like incredulous that he could have that kind of performance because he was kind of bumbling and stumbling on his way in, and he's kind of bumbled and stumbled on his way out. Now, this last week against Tennessee, by the way, I didn't know this until I saw it, from ESPN Stats and Info, it was the first 16-11 final score in NFL history. How about that? Did you guys see that? No other score, no other game in NFL history had ever ended with a 16-11 final until last week the Jets beat the Titans 16-11. I thought that was remarkable. And Geno actually played well within himself. 179 yards passing, one touchdown, no picks. And I think that's just like the eighth game out of 28 starts he's made, or 28 games in which he's played in the NFL in which he has not thrown an interception. So if he has, you know, he can, you know, piggyback that performance that he had, you know, heavy in the run game with what he did against New England in October, you have every reason to think that, you know, unless the Patriots somehow do something to force him into a mistake, that he's going to be able to keep his team in the game, manage the game, give his team a chance to win. The X factor in all of this, of course, is, you know, forcing turnovers, what the Patriots have done pretty well this year. They've been in the top two or three in the league just about all year long. And the special teams play, which is now blocked another field goal, and it's the first time in franchise history they've blocked three kicks, you know, field goals in the same season like that. So if the Patriots can somehow utilize the defense with the special teams and putting a little extra pressure on the Jets, then you'd have to think that, you know, there's every reason to believe that they'll continue to move toward their stated goal, which now is to win out and get home field advantage in the upcoming playoffs all the way through. And which would mean, of course, that the trip road to the Super Bowl will go right through Foxborough. Bob Sosi is coming up next. This is a hard one to figure, because I know your natural tendency is to say, well, they're 3-11. So, you know, how good could they really be? But we've seen them play a lot of close games. There have been a lot of single-digit losses. Had one of the New England Patriots back in October. Mm-hmm. This is a team that's going to be playing with some emotion. Probably Rex Ryan's last home game. These guys love playing for him, and they know he's probably on his way out, as could be a lot of other factors here. This is one of those games that I don't think you really want to touch with a 10-foot pole.
Couldn't agree more, John. DeBrickashaw Ferguson, after the game, the win over the Titans, gave Rex Ryan the game ball in an emotional setting in the locker room on Sunday.
That's what I'm saying. Emotion can play strange things, you know, in your mind, and it's just like, wow, I don't know that you want any part of this.
You know, beyond that, too, divisional foes are so familiar with one another. There are no real surprises in this.
Right.
And Rex is
right.
Generally, throughout his tenure as the head coach of the Jets, given the Patriots some problems with his aggressive defensive approach. We certainly know, as you've already referenced, the Jets ran the ball extremely well against the Pats back in October, just as they did last year in that win in the Meadowlands. Chris Ivory had a huge impact on both of those victories. The Jets won the last meeting of these teams in New Jersey, and they, as you mentioned, very easily could have won the game here in Foxborough. I mean, they drove the ball repeatedly. They were forced to settle for field goals, and they stopped the Patriots in control time of possession, more than 40 minutes time of possession in that game. And I would imagine it's the same formula the Jets are going to try to use this Sunday against the Patriots. And
have to. They have to. That's the only way they can win the game.
No doubt.
Because of that, you know, I kind of feel like, you know, man, you take the ball and you impose your will on the other guys. And we know that if the Patriots win the coin flip, they're going to defer like they always do.
I have no problem with that because I think that's really become an accepted strategy and a sound strategy in the league. It's what they
but
do.
But what if you play? You're handing the Jets an opportunity to take momentum right out of the gate.
You're the better team. You're the better team.
Well, then you've got to impose your will on them and stop them. And I'm just saying on that opening drive, the Jets pull a 7 or 8 minute drive out, and even if they go down and end up kicking a field goal in the red zone, that's not what you want. It's not what you're looking for.
And if you fail on your first series and the Jets score, I think there's so many ifs and buts and hypotheticals that you could map out during the course of play. It's what the Patriots do. It's what they have done under Belichick consistently. Have done, in fact, since 08, that first game against Kansas City. And as I said, it's really accepted practice now around
one of my nitpicks, Bob.
The NFL and college football.
Can you tell us one of my nitpicks?
It isn't. John, you can make an argument right now the way that the two units are going that the defense is the stronger unit of the Patriots.
You could make that argument.
I think that's a very strong argument you can make, especially in the last 4 weeks.
Why not give the offense a chance to, get a little payback?
I see the thinking behind you want to get a better start offensively, but I still think, this is what they do. It's been what the practice here. To me, you're the better team.
You got to be able to stop them anyway.
It's just one of the stupid little things
that I gnash my teeth.
I don't think it's
stupid
at all. I mean, I think there's sound reasoning behind both sides. I think the thing for me too about this particular game from the Pats' point of view that's going to be interesting to see. And you talked about special teams. The Patriots have been the team who've been making the plays in special teams. They'd have to deal with Percy Harvin as returner. Now, there's some question about his health, whether he's 100%. He's been dealing with something, an issue physically, since becoming a Jet, or at least in recent weeks. Percy Harvin is a very dynamic player, both as a special teams return man and as well, of course, offensively, used a lot of different ways in the run game. So that's just another dimension for the Jets. I mean, the passing game generally wouldn't concern you, but the Jets have so much success in the slot against the Pats, at least they have the last couple of years. So the Patriots are going to have to deal with the slot receivers and the tight end. Cumberland's had maybe two of his three or four best career games in the last two meetings of these teams.
All right, stick around. Bob's coming up next. Our thanks to Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York for giving his the latest point of view on the Jets coming in. We'll be locked and loaded tomorrow here in the playbook with more on the Jets. The guru, Russell Baxter, will be in the playbook. Prediction Thursday as well. We had not one, but two winners last week. Can we keep it going and get a couple of more this week? You got to play to win. All starts at 2 p.m. Eastern time mañana, kids.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
We're pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.